Tired of the negative news and flash over substance? It's time for Today with Dr. Wendy. Dr. Wendy Patrick is a trial attorney, patriot, and PhD with a passion for people and a penchant for politics. Dr. Wendy brings you the headlines, streamlined news you can use. It's time to be informed, engaged, and entertained. Now, here's your host, Dr. Wendy Patrick.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of Today with Dr. Wendy. Well, we have had a jam-packed week of news, everything from the death of O.J. Simpson to the former president's first criminal trials set for next Monday. I mean, there's just been one thing after another. And, you know, one of the things that we always count on the show is really some phenomenal guests to kind of not only keep us centered, but really highlight some of the most interesting facts of the day. And I got to tell you, we have a great show for you tonight. And Larry, with that, who do we have first up in the lineup?
Dr. Corsi received his PhD from Harvard University's Department of Government in 1972 and has since published over 30 books on economics, history, and politics, including 6 New York Times bestsellers and 2 at number one. Dr. Corsi and co-author Dr. David Mantic have just come out with a new book titled The Assassination of John F. Kennedy, The Final Analysis, that we'll be discussing tonight. Welcome to the program, Dr. Corsi.
Great pleasure to be with you. Thank you very much.
Hey, Dr. Corsi, many people have written books, made films. There's been documentaries about the assassination of President John F. Kennedy, including even the government-issued Warren Commission report. I mean, this seems to come up all the time. It's one of those sort of cold cases that never grew cold because we know who did it, and we just keep talking about new angles. On that note, I understand your investigation is unique. What makes it different?
Well, that's a great question. This book is different. And Dr. David Mantic, my co-author, is a PhD in physics, and he also is a radiation oncologist, which means he spent 40 years reading x-rays for cancer patients. Now, Dr. Mantic has seen the 3 existing JFK autopsy skull x-rays in the National Archives more times than anyone else. And what he did is he did scientific investigation. He took a densitometer, which is a machine that casts a beam of light through an x-ray, millimeter by millimeter. You can examine it. You have a little lever. They push that down on the x-ray, goes in the machine, the light shines in, this lever records the light coming through that spot, and you can tell what you're looking at, whether it's empty space, whether it's tissue, whether it's bone. It's a remarkably scientific measurement, so it's precise. And what Dr. Mantic can establish indisputably is that all 3 of these x-rays are not originals. All 3 of the extant JFK skull x-rays from the autopsy have been altered to mask evidence of frontal shots. And yet in the x-rays, there's obvious evidence of 2 frontal shots and 1 shot from behind at a low angle. And these are scientific measurements. This is not, we're not guessing. We're not talking about this person said this or that person did this, or it's not a story. It's scientific evidence. And I wrote the books very detailed. It's 560 pages. All the science is in the appendices. We wrote this so anyone can read it. It reads like a mystery story. But for instance, the shot that hit JFK on the right forehead by the hairline, you can see where it entered the front of the skull. And then across the top of JFK's skull, the top right quadrant, you can see the bullet broke up and there's a fragment trail that heads towards the back of the head. And the largest fragment is at the back of the head, which has the most weight. It has the most momentum. It will travel the farthest. This is obvious indication of a frontal shot. It's unmistakable. And it's also measured with optical density measurements, so it's clearly there. And then the shot from the front, another shot hit JFK by the temporal bone right by the right ear, and you can see it was an oblique shot. Oblique shots enter a head at an angle, at a tangent. It creates a keyhole fracture. You can see the keyhole fracture, fully measured, fully identified, and it blew out the back of JFK's head. Huh. One of the parts of the forgery was this big white patch that was also imposed on the X-ray towards the back of the head, which masks a lot of information. And that, again, is like a building. It's too intense. It's way beyond the range of possible brightness in an X-ray. It'd be like saying you could build a building 10 miles high. Well, you can't have this bright a spot in an X-ray unless it's faked. And so that's obvious indication of faking, obvious indication of a shot that occurred from the front, two shots from the front, and equally obvious is the shot from the back. In fact, on the cover of the book, we show you in the JFK skull X-ray and also in the Zapruder film exactly where these three shots hit. So this is science. And Dr. Manick has been publishing this for 30 years. He's been extremely well-regarded in the JFK community. But since what he has written is so technical, the average person hasn't gotten the point. With this book, anybody can read it, and it's indisputable. You can see Jack Kennedy was without doubt hit twice from the front and once in the rear, and none of the shots came from the sixth floor of the Texas School Book Depository, where the government said Lee Harvey Oswald was as the sole gun shooter. It was a complete lie, been a lie for 60 years. This is the final analysis. The book is called The Assassination of John F. Kennedy, The Final Analysis, and it makes it indisputably clear that Jack Kennedy was shot twice from the front. Lee Harvey Oswald was not I don't think Lee Harvey Oswald fired a shot.
So then we really think that there were perhaps three shooters, or at least three shooters. Is that what you're concluding?
Yeah, at least three, maybe four.
Okay.
Because a shot also came through the windshield that hit Jack Kennedy in the throat. Now, so that puts one shooter would have been on the south side of Dealey Plaza. That's opposite side from the grassy knoll. And the triple underpass, where the highways go under this triple underpass, there's a railroad yard at the top. And a shooter would have been behind the concrete fence on the railroad yard on the south side of Dealey Plaza. That's the shot that came across through the windshield and hit Jack Kennedy in the throat. There was one shooter for sure on the grassy knoll, because the shot from his temporal bone that blew out the back of his head was a shot that clearly sprayed all the brain debris and everything else on the back of the trunk. You can see it in frame about 388. It's where Jack Kennedy gets thrown violently back into the left. That was the last shot from the grassy knoll, and the last shot, period, of the shots fired at Kennedy. The shot at a low angle from the back hit at the knob in the back of your head, probably came from the Daltex building. That shot happened before the shot that blew out the side of the head. Because a Harper fragment was the piece of bone that blew out of Jack Kennedy's head and flew on the grassy knoll lawn opposite again, all the debris went to the left, the back. And so this was found on the lawn, and it has evidence of an entrance wound. And then because it was blown out of the head at the back, it was a result of an exit wound. So that one Harper fragment has the evidence both of an entrance wound from the back, low angle, not the Dallas textbook school depository, and a blowout from the shot from the grassy knoll. The shot to the forehead, depending on the angle of the shot, might have been a second shooter in the grassy knoll, or the head may have been positioned so it could have been the same shooter that shot through the windshield. I happen to think it was a second shooter in the grassy knoll. But again, that can't be precisely determined. We know the shot was a frontal shot. It could have come from either location, depending on where exactly Kennedy's head was positioned when the shot happened. And go ahead.
Yeah, you know, obviously we have had many cases that have been examined after the fact by exhuming remains, so to speak. I don't know a more pleasant way to say that. Is this one of those cases that might be corroborated, contradicted, further examined by that kind of an analysis or not?
Well, I don't know for sure. I mean, I don't think it's necessary, because the X-rays are so clear. The X-rays are just unmistakable. When you look at the book and you see all of the, by the way, the book's heavily illustrated. So everything we're talking about, we show you. And so you can see the shot across the top of the head. And it is just, once you see it, it's absolutely clear. This is what convinced me that Dr. Mantic was right. When I saw that shot, and knowing ballistics and knowing medicine as I do, that's a frontal shot. And then when you see the keyhole fracture and the blowout at the back of the head, it's clear that's a frontal shot. You see the windshield, as soon as the assassination occurred, the limousine was headed down the Stemmons Freeway to go to the Dallas Trade Center where Jack Kennedy was going to give a speech, but on the way was Parkland Hospital. So they got the limousine there in a matter of a couple minutes. But as soon as the limousine parked, the Secret Service is taking buckets of water and they're cleaning out the back seat of the car. That's destroying a crime scene. And people could see the puncture wound coming in from the front of the window. The Secret Service cordoned off the limousine, wouldn't let anybody see it, and got it out of there. They were hiding evidence. But this book makes it absolutely clear, unmistakably, Jack Kennedy was shot twice from the front, once from the back. There's no evidence that anybody was shooting from the sixth floor of the Texas School Book Depository. And this is like CSI. This is crime scene investigation. Well, and you get down to that level, the case is proven. The case is closed.
Yeah, we have a ton of more questions, but we are getting close to the end of this segment. So I know that your book, The Assassination of President John Kennedy, The Final Analysis, is not available everywhere like most books are. This, where is it available if people want to get a copy?
Right now it's available on Amazon.
Okay.
We got it out quickly because we wanted to get it out in advance of the June elections in Europe. And by the way, I've already got offers to publish it in Italy. Looks like it'll be published in Spain and Hungary. And so go to Amazon.com and look up Jerome Corsi, C-O-R-S-I, and David Mantic, M-A-N-T-I-K, The Assassination of John F. Kennedy, The Final Analysis. And you get the book directly from Amazon.
Thank you so much, Dr. Corsi, for joining us. That's fascinating analysis. And thank you for letting our listeners know where to get you more of your book. And we have more of Today with Dr. Wendy in just a minute as well. So don't touch that dial. We're going to take a short break, but we will be back in a flash. You're listening to Today with Dr. Wendy.
News cycle lowlights have no place here. You're listening to the headline highlights on Today with Dr. Wendy on The Answer San Diego.
Since 1991, the nonprofit National Law Center for Children and Families has been fighting to protect children from sexual exploitation. The National Law Center offers the latest investigative training techniques to police, probation officers, and prosecutors on fighting sexual predators and human traffickers. The NLC also offers human trafficking awareness training to members of the public. Schedule a training for your church or organization today by visiting nationallawcenter.org. That's nationallawcenter.org.
It's time for more news you can use. The headlines streamline. It's time for more Today with Dr. Wendy. Now here's your host, Dr. Wendy Patrick.
Welcome back to Today with Dr. Wendy. I'm Wendy Patrick and my co-host Larry Dershman and I have a absolutely enjoyable and informative second half ready for you. Larry, who are we lucky enough to have on the line?
Helen Taylor is the Vice President of Impact at Exodus Cry. Originally from London, UK, she's been involved in the fight against sex trafficking for over 10 years and done outreach to those in the sex trade in red light districts around the world. Her U.S. team reaches individuals on the street, strip clubs, brothels, porn conventions, online, and to at-risk women in jail, offering loving support, resources, and assistance. Welcome to the program, Helen.
Thank you so much, Larry. It's really great to be on your show. And thank you so much, Dr. Wendy, for having me on the show to talk about these crucial issues.
Oh, crucial issues indeed. And issues that are very aligned with the National Center for Children and Families that is a huge sponsor of the show and just a very like-minded organization to all of the different things that you are bravely endeavoring to intervene in to attempt to stop this insidious behavior. And, you know, we're wondering, you have an illustrious background. How did you become so passionate about fighting human sex trafficking? And in your answer, maybe you can work in a little bit about what your organization Exodus Cry does.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I was a university student when I actually heard the founder of Exodus Cry speaking about trafficking. And I was over in England. He was speaking about it in the US. And it was a video recording. who's speaking about child sex trafficking in Cambodia. I was just so heartbroken of the realization of children being sold for sex every day. I just started weeping, and 3 hours later I was still crying. I'd never felt so emotionally impacted by any issue. And I decided then that if an opportunity ever presented itself to go to Cambodia or do anything to address sex trafficking, an issue which I didn't really know that much about at the time, but I just felt like I couldn't turn away. It wasn't business as usual anymore. And I actually trained to be an art therapist after university and moved to Cambodia to work with survivors of sex trafficking, using art therapy as part of their healing journey. But the longer that I worked with survivors, the more passionate I became about intervention, intercepting those who were still caught in trafficking, and then ultimately prevention. What's it going to take in the next 20 years for the tide of sex trafficking to really turn? What's the biggest impact that we can make to protect women and children from entering this horrific, horrific industry that often takes decades for them to heal from? And I think when you have worked closely with survivors, you become more passionate about prevention. So that's actually something that our organization, Exodus Cry, is really involved in. We provide both trauma therapy and outreach to those currently in sex trafficking and helping them on their lifelong healing journey. But we're also asking the questions of what policies are the most effective in reducing sex trafficking around the world, what's been done already, and how can we here in the US be the most effective in preventing sex trafficking. And we also make films and documentaries as a way to really educate the masses and shift culture. So some of our films are on Netflix or Amazon or YouTube. We try to make as many of them as free as possible. And we've screened those films before Congress, before parliaments around the world. And we really believe in the power of film to be able to shift hearts and minds and impact laws. And then we do campaigns. So issues specifically around the intersection of sex trafficking and pornography, we've really taken on in these last few years with viral global campaigns that have really shifted the needle on some of these issues. So we're really just thinking, in addition to walking alongside the individual getting free from trafficking, what is it going to take to end this issue in our lifetime? So that is something I'm really grateful for as an organization, that we're committed to doing both of those things.
Well, Wendy, if you don't mind, I don't want to run out of time. And there's two California bills now pending that are so important to what Helen is doing in her organization. Did you want to ask that question about those bills coming
up? No, let's go ahead and hear the answer. I think that's great.
Yeah. So earlier this week, your nonprofit Exodus Cry announced this support for two California bills that would protect children from sexual exploitation. And that would be Senate Bill 1414 and Assembly Bill 3080. Can you tell our listeners, Helen, a little bit about these bills, what they do, and do you think they stand a good chance of becoming law?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the first bill that you mentioned, SB 1414, last year, a fantastic bill was also introduced by that same senator, Senator Shannon Grove, classifying sex trafficking of a child as a serious felony. And we look at other crimes that are classified in that category and believe that the sex trafficking of a child should absolutely be classified in that. This year, she's taken on the buyers, those who are purchasing children for sex. So last year addressed the traffickers. This year, we're looking at the sex buyers that are buying children for sex here in California. Now, on the state level, this crime is only classified as a misdemeanor with a minimum of 2 days in jail. A lot of times, sex buying of a child is prosecuted on the state level, not the federal level. And so we really want to ensure that children are protected and that a message is sent out to anyone who's considering purchasing a minor for sex. And I do outreach on the streets here in Los Angeles and regularly see girls who, to me, look underage. This is a huge issue, not just in California, but across the nation, of sex trafficking and minors being sold in the sex trade. And we're saying it should not be a misdemeanor for a child to be sold for sex. And so the committee hearing in Sacramento, I'm going to be there, as are a lot of anti-trafficking organizations, child protection organizations, survivors who are raising their voices saying, we want justice. We want this crime to be seen and the penalty to fit the severity of the crime. I'm not really sure what the response from the committee is going to be. Last year, shockingly, they initially pushed back against classifying trafficking of a child as a felony, or a serious felony. And unfortunately, it seems like it can be one of those partisan issues, but this is a bipartisan bill.
Yes.
So Democrat Senator Susan Rubio co-authored this bill. We're really, really hopeful. From where I'm sitting, it's a no-brainer bill, and it would demonstrate a huge issue, a huge problem, if in California we're not willing to make buying sex with a child a felony.
Right. Where can people find out more about your organization and watch your films?
Yeah, absolutely. If anyone goes to exoduscry.com/watch, we have all of our films listed. You can watch the majority of them for free. And I really encourage people to track with us on Instagram at exoduscry for daily updates. There is a petition you can sign for that bill. And really quickly, the second bill that we're working on is about age verification for pornography sites. So currently 38 states have introduced age verification. We've been campaigning for this for the last 3 years. We also have a petition for that. We're so encouraged to see now 12 states pass age verification. We really want to see California be the next state to pass this. And again, a no-brainer bill protecting children from accessing hardcore graphic pornographic content. This is something that every parent should care about, should be involved in, should be knowledgeable about. So many parents have no idea the kind of graphic violent content that their kids can access. So we really want to see some regulations and accountability for pornography. So these are two fantastic bills. Really encourage you to sign the petitions, contact our lawmakers, and just get involved, be aware with what's going on here in our state, because this is a crucial, crucial moment for us to forge forward with some bills that would protect children in the next generation.
Well, Exodus Cry have a connection to another website called Trafficking Hub, and can you tell us a little bit about that website and what Trafficking Hub does as a global movement?
Absolutely. So, early 2020, we began a campaign called Trafficking Hub. And like you say, it eventually became a global movement with people from 192 countries signing on support in that petition. Our petition, I think, had over 2 million signatures. And we created an animated video. Lots of other organizations jumped on in support. And we really wanted this campaign to be something beyond Exodus Cry, but something that anyone and everyone could call for accountability for Pornhub and similar websites that didn't verify the age of consent of any person in the videos being uploaded. And the New York Times got involved, and they wanted to do a investigation as well. And at the end of 2020, the credit card companies were forced to cut ties. 10 million videos, unverified videos, were deleted off of Pornhub, which is 80% of their content. And so that campaign still continues. And that's a petition that people can also sign as well. So we're wanting to see kids protected from accessing hardcore graphic content. And we're also wanting to see age of consent for people verified in porn. We just feel like across the board, there's so many regulations that need to happen to address trafficking and exploitation in the porn industry. They push back against regulations, but we're saying it cannot be the Wild Wild West where the children and trafficking victims are concerned. So we are actively taking on this this issue, and we've seen some amazing successes and breakthroughs.
We are just so proud of the work that you're doing.
Yes.
And anytime we hear that content has been removed or taken down, hallelujah, you know, regardless of anything else, we just want to stamp this out. You know, I know that this is a subject that's near and dear to the hearts of so many of our listeners. Like you said, it's a bipartisan passion to protect children and stop trafficking. And you also point out that with the advent of, you know, AI, I'll kind of add to what you said, is becoming increasingly difficult to not only verify the age of a child, but maybe even verify whether or not it's an actual child. So, I mean, the story continues and the fight continues, and we're very glad to be partnering with you as we move forward. Thank you so much for joining the show.
Thank you so much for having me and shining a light on these issues. We really, really appreciate your support.
Oh, amen to that. And thank you to our listeners. You have been listening to Today with Dr. Wendy. My co-host Larry Dersham and I have been delighted to spend another Saturday night with you. Please join us next Saturday night, same time, 6 p.m., as we talk about another edition of the news of the day. You are listening to Today with Dr. Wendy. Until then, have a wonderful week and God bless you.
Thank you for joining us for Today with Dr. Wendy. You can learn more about Dr. Wendy and how to become a guest or sponsor of the show by visiting WendyPatrickPhD.com. That's WendyPatrickPhD.com. Tune in every week at this same time as Dr. Wendy will engage and inspire you with an upbeat viewpoint on the highlights of the day. This has been Today with Dr. Wendy on The Answer San Diego.
Since 1991, the nonprofit National Law Center for Children and Families has been fighting to protect children from sexual exploitation. The National Law Center offers the latest investigative training techniques to police, probation officers, and prosecutors on fighting sexual predators and human traffickers. The NLC also offers human trafficking awareness training to members of the public. Schedule a training for your church or organization today by visiting nationallawcenter.org. That's nationallawcenter.org.